doing bodhidut. Yashem, Ashpiyat Ha'inayim, this and that. And I was thinking, I remember the soldiers, the suicide bombing, the two soldiers were murdered on Friday morning. I was thinking, and I said, what? They're in a better place. They just blew up their bodies. We are walking the street. I feel like I'm the suicide bombing all every second on me. A spiritual suicide bombing.
Minefield.
A minefield, my mind.
Minefield, your field.
All kinds of fields.
Terrible, terrible.
No. Either you go to the field or you go in the minefield. It's not much baya. You have to dive in for this. To think about if you were in the war now, down in Gaza over there. How much you would have prayed to Hashem to protect you, right? You know that you the soldiers there know how little they are. They know. There's a guy here, his brother's in the army. He said they went in with the tanks. They had no idea what's going on. It was just like, suddenly, boom, from here, from there. It's not like a war zone. Anyone who fought in Vietnam knows what, similar to that.
But no picnic.
No picnic at all. It's not a picnic.
They had tunnels too and
yeah.
Enemy traps.
Is that guy go full time?
What?
Does the guy who has the brother in the IDF, does he go full time to the issue?
Yeah, and his brother told him, called him once when he had an opportunity to call his parents, and he told him, he's not religious, and he told him, tell Michael, the brother that learns here, to learn well. We feel the protection. Every time I have to fight, he launches the bombs into the tank thing, into the launcher, whatever it's called. He says, every time I'm doing that, I see his image in front of my eyes. And someone, Ezra told me the story, that this whole yeshiva, each one was davening for one soldier, learning for one soldier, for one name. And one of the boys, didn't come one day or something?
One of the boys, whatever reason,
he couldn't learn that day.
And
that soldier that he died before got wounded that day.
Yeah.
So immediately he got the chazek and he's recovering. It's hamash, you have to believe in that 100%. We're the fighters, we're the defenders. The Torah is the defender, the tefillah is the defender, the tikkun haklali is the defender. Unbelievable. I was on Shabbos, I saw soldiers. There's soldiers over there by the embassy, the American embassy, sitting there with Tikkun HaKlali. I was amazed to see that. I said, they could have also iPhone. They also have iPhone. I'm sure they have an iPhone in their pocket. And they're sitting with the Tikkun HaKlali. I was so excited. To my wife, look, I'm Israel. Now they know who's fighting. Now they know who's fighting, really.
You know, Chabad been down there. The defense minister. They had him put on the film. Whatever his name
is. It's his nephew or something. It was murdered on Friday.
The defense minister, the big guy.
No, his nephew was murdered on Friday.
Was wounded?
Murdered. One of the...
Murdered?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was pulled into a tunnel.
They got parts of the body or something.
They beat him to death. And some posts, and we see about when the... Anyhow... Two parts of his body were found later, and
that's what they're burying today. At 4 o'clock, he was already dead. What's his father's name? At least they're good. They're making this labai.
The nephew of the defense
minister? It's not nephew or cousin. They're really close.
Feeling
the fight
stronger now.
Alibi that he had a government that permitted the army to do what it should have done.
I'm not saying anything. I don't know. Now we're seeing stories. We're saying that we're the fighters, we're the defenders, we're the ones who give the ideas to the prime minister or whatever they are. If they're not doing the right job, it's because we're not okay. So each
Hazal said,
personal
nation gets a government by the merit of its people.
Yeah.
So does that mean?
That means you have to just tell us
given all the learning,
works.
Given all the prayers, given all the people, given
a lot of miracles happening.
Everything we're doing, does that mean we're going to get better government?
We have to.
There's a Mashiach government coming out very soon. We don't want a better government. We want Mashiach.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, Bezal Hashem. Yeah, that's our schuz. So therefore, the Bezal Hashem, Orva learning, thinking of stories, the Chizuk, and Tehillim, and we say, my kids, Baruch Hashem, we say a lot of Tehillim.
Women going to the Kotel, women going to Kabbalah.
Yeah, they're having a whole thing tonight at the Kotel.
In 6:30
tonight at the Kotel,
I think. I don't remember.
Remember.
In Beitar, there was a series of Tehillim groups of women and girls. They went from one to another, one house to another, to the whole afternoon yesterday.
What do you think? These miracles are starting. What about the miracle with the. Everyone knows the missile, right? The missile that was going to hit Azrieli.
Where is that? Tel Aviv?
Tel Aviv, those big buildings.
Big fancy, the tower.
They tried to launch the rockets, three rockets to shoot them down. It didn't work. And then right before it hit, there was a wind from the east.
That was unforeseen and unexplainable.
There was no wind from the east that day. Only that wind came from the east.
And
it moved to the side. The whole way there was no wind.
Wait a second. The missile, I read the letter.
The letter that he wrote?
From the officer.
He said,
there a radar gives him a 200 meter radius of where the missile might land. It could land either in the Kiryah, which is the Pentagon of Israel, or Hareli, or Tower, or the radio station that's in between them.
Or the railroad. Railroad.
Yeah, it's very small. Lots of
Shalom. Okay. In that area.
Very close.
So they're probably aiming for the Kiryah.
And he was going to press. He had a special button. He said that
he already called the emergency services to be there after the thing hits to take care of fire and then injuries.
Yeah.
And then also the thing got blown off.
And he called his rabbi that he knows. He told him, where's the shir in Ramat Gan or something? I'm going to keep Shabbos now. I'm going to put on tefillin. I'm going to.
Before that, he looked around. Somebody has tefillin. He could fall on immediately.
Unbelievable.
I've already posted.
What's the miracle? What's the biggest miracle? That he saw it was Hashem. That's the biggest miracle. Mm-hmm. That only Hashem could do.
He said, Yesh Elohim.
What?
He said, this is the hand of Hashem. No, he jumped and said, Yesh Elohim.
Yep.
This is God.
There is a God.
I posted it already. It's been on the website. I originally got it from Rabbi.
So, what is that? It's miracles all the time. And just to give us chizuk. Hashem loves us very much. So, 10. Shmuel was very strict. Regarding, no, there was no leniency with Shmuel. He was very strict. But sometimes he was soft. For example, in Shalom Bayis, he was soft. Not his own Shalom Bayis, everything was okay, but by other people. Once, one of his grandchildren, that he was getting married, but the Kala was used to speaking Hebrew at home. And Shmuel was very against speaking Hebrew. That's what you know. But Stam, you know Yiddish, speak Yiddish. That's what he was for that. Right? And the father of the Chazan asked him, he begged him, he asked him to promise that in his house they're going to speak only Yiddish, no Hebrew at all. So he went to, what is he going to do? Force his wife to speak Yiddish, doesn't know Yiddish. That's the shit. What can he do? So he went to Shmuel, his grandfather, and asked him. Shmuel told him, the main connection between a husband and his wife is speech. Everyone knows that, right? And if that will cause you that your wife won't be able to talk with you freely, and that will cause difficulty between you and your wife in your connection, your relationship, you try to speak in Yiddish, but let her speak whatever she's comfortable with. Even though it was all strict Yiddish. But fine. If you could speak Yiddish or Hebrew, then speak Yiddish. But now she doesn't know Yiddish. What are you going to force her now? Is she going to be able to express herself? Is she going to have this? Because you're destroying your house, obviously. Okay. Yeah. He was very, very against Shetos. Shmuel. Very, very against. And not today's Shetos. I'm talking about 30 years ago Shetos. 40 years ago, which weren't as nice as today. Anyways, and he had a sister, which wore sheitel. She never knew that he was against sheitel. He was against it, entirely, but he never went to tell his sister a word. She knows. Yeah. He didn't even know that he was against it. Once a rich man, he was a rich man, he lost all his money. He became a very poor man, he was very frustrated and very weak in his nefesh, because when someone was up there and they threw him down there, a lot of times he could lose his.
It happens sometimes.
He became still weak. He even stopped, like spiritually also, he stopped putting on tefillin for a long time. Not because he against Hashem, his nefesh was so weak.
It was broken.
After he got over this mashbel,
breakdown
at the end, okay.
Mashbel.
Breakdown. The word yishbol, yeah?
Yeah,
it was broken. And he came all sad. What? I didn't put on tefillin for a few months. Oh my gosh. He was so sad that he didn't. They said, oh, you see what he does. First makes you to be sad that you don't put on tefillin. Then he could be sad about not putting on tefillin. So he went to Shmuel. He said, what? Because of money, I lose all my merits. I'm considered a head that didn't put on tefillin. What is this? And he burst out crying. Shmuel held his hand and told him, what? Look how beautiful you're crying about a sin. Amazing how close you are to Hashem. You're upset about what? Not losing money, but the fact that you did not put into it. Unbelievable, so sweet. You have a lot of chizuk like that. Instead of showing him, it's all. Look, isn't that reviving? That's the reason why you put on tefillin, because you were sad. And now you're crying about that. It's unbelievable. They gave him chizuk like that. Okay?
Pure psychology. Yes.
Focus on the positive. For a long time, Shmuel used to learn every single day before Mincha with his best friend and Rebbe, Rabbi Hirschleib Lippler, which we'll talk about in lengthy, a whole paragraph in this book. They used to learn Alim Litrufa. Alim Litrufa is the letters that Rabbi Natan wrote, a lot of letters that Rabbi Natan wrote his son Rabbi Yitzchak, and there to be in his keva Friday, Baruch Hashem, in the Arizal. And also other Mikhtavim, but mainly what Rabbi Natan wrote. Rabbi Hirschleib. Yeah. In the beginning of his day, when he was still in Uman, he was full of yearning. When he got older, you know, a little bit less, right? And when he was reading this, he got weak-hearted, like, look where I was and look where I am. He was the big tzaddik. And he says, Shmuel, where was I then? Where I was yearning for then? How did I live? Look at me today. What am I looking for today? So Shmuel, for a long time, says, what? That's the way of Breslev? He's telling you, Breslev is the good points. Just the little good points. What? You put on tefillin? Simply like that. That's the truth. Everyone has to revive ourselves like that. Top. We'll resume, Bezat Hashem. Anosh Chodesh Elul, Bezat Hashem.